Proverbs chapter 6. It's not original, but I've often said that there are three root causes to all of our problems: a temporal value system, which is greed, materialism, and then bitterness. Bitterness, we can't forgive somebody. We can't, or we get bitter at God sometimes for something that has happened to us. And then moral impurity. And so, of course, and then I'm not going to go into it, but behind all that is pride, resisting the grace of God. But look at Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 24 again. We read those verses this morning. And this is, unfortunately, and maybe I should say it's good. When I preach a message like this, now, first of all, people have a hard time responding, and we're not trying to respond in a public way to show off or anything like that, but it's hard to respond because, you know, if you're going to respond, you come to during the invitation, you think, I wonder what everybody's thinking. Or if you go get help. And by the way, many times I've had people, and I had it happen this morning. I didn't have it here because I went to Monterey Park, but Monterey Park, different people, ladies and men, and maybe ladies that had problems with their husbands. Unfortunately, what happens is ladies, they say, you know, I wish, okay, I know we're not all about, you know, the wishbone's coming here in a couple of days with the turkey, but I wish my family heard this 30 years ago or 20 years ago, okay? But this in our day, when immorality is a plague, these things should be talked about in church. And you say, what do you mean talking about? Let's look at what God says, okay? Let's look, and I've preached maybe a couple years ago. There's a verse I'll share this morning, actually a text in Colossians that I think would be helpful for us. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, and let's look at verse number 24. To keep thee, and of course these are just admonition, especially for young men, but it's not just young men. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go onto hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of the house of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He doeth it. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Father, help us tonight. We work in a fallen world, whether we're in another part of the country, another part of the world, or right here, geographically where we live or where our church is. And Lord, we want to be clean people. We want our minds to be clean, our souls, our mind, will, and our emotions. We want our bodies. You want our bodies to be clean, Lord. Amen. In order for us to have a spiritual life, we have to have clean minds and clean souls. And Lord, help us as we just look at your word to do all that we can to stay morally pure. And Lord, there's people in here. There's some in bondage tonight. They're in bondage. And Lord, we just pray that the message and then some instruction to follow can help them to get out of the bondage through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want us to look at a couple more verses. We're going to look one more time at Matthew chapter 5. If you were not here this morning, you might want to go online and listen to the sermon. This is part two of the seven deadly stresses. We've talked about anger. We've talked about guilt. This morning and tonight, we'll talk a little bit more about lust in Matthew chapter 5. You say, what's the worst one? Well, anger's Anger, the destroyer, as S.M. Davis says, it destroys. It destroys relationships. It destroys families. It destroys your testimony. What about guilt? Guilt, man, it just messes everything up. It messes your walk with God. It gives you ulcers and stress, and it really affects your body a lot, affects your walk with God. Lust, lethal. It's lethal, okay? And you, all you young men, we live in the most moral. You say, well, how about the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire didn't have internet. Roman Empire didn't have TV. Roman Empire didn't have, what's it called, the Red Box? That was called the Red Box, where you get all those DVDs. But they didn't have Red Box. Now, they were deprived. They were, you know, but we live in a real rough time. Look at Matthew chapter 5 in regards to this subject here. Matthew 5, look at verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust. To what class? To lust. You look on her to lust. And we'll end the message tonight just trying to help our ladies. But let me say this. I occasionally mention modesty because very few places in the world are you going to hear about modesty. You're not going to hear about modesty on television. You're not going to hear about modesty. Now, if you go to a Christian school like ours, you will. Okay? And I think some ladies don't understand, okay, what causes men to be tempted. Wouldn't it be good, and I think we do well in our church, we can always in every area get better, wouldn't it be good if every church in America you come in, you're like, wow, you know, I go out there, I got to fight it, but in church, thank God that we don't have to fight lust because the ladies are all modest, amen? And if you're a new Christian, you know, that maybe takes a little while, but to lust after her, committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I want you to turn over to, we're going to look at a couple more verses. I want you to, these are verses we didn't go over this morning. Look at Romans chapter 13. Then I'm going to give you 15 points. Thanks. I'm serious. I got 15 points. Then we're going to watch a 15-minute video. Thanks, John. You want to come sit here on the platform? Because these guys won't help me out. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We'll talk about envy in a few weeks. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So we need to put on Christ, but also make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts. The what class? The lust thereof. Okay? And I'll get to that in a minute, saying don't make provision for the flesh. Look, in our day and age, we have, number one, weak Christians, and number two, we have all types of contagious viruses out there. A strong Christian can withstand some temptation. A weak Christian can withstand very few temptations. But now what we have is a lot of temptations and a lot of weak Christians. Now what the Lord is saying, make no provision for the flesh. And by the way, thank God we've got a lot of strong Christians here at Pacific Baptist Church. But he's saying, even if you are a strong Christian, don't put yourself in a position to where you're going to lust or be tempted to lust. Okay? Now, I want you to look over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look at verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. And I preached a message or spent some time on these two words here in just a moment. And I didn't know what they meant up until about 2 years ago. Not that I've read them, and I'm just like some Bible words. I didn't really study them. But it's real clear to me now, and it's look at verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Okay? That's saying, be heavenly minded. Think about the things of God, and think about eternity, and think about what's going to happen when we die, and think about what we get to take with us. Think about the things above. Number 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And somebody say amen. We get to appear, we get to be with Jesus. We need to talk about it. I probably need to preach more about it. We get to look forward to it, talk about it, meditate on it, think about it. Now, verse 5, mortify. Say, what is mortify? How do you say dead in Spanish? Hey. No speaking in tongues in church here. Mortify. Say, what does mortify mean? Put to death. Kill it. Kill. Anybody got a knife on them? All men are supposed to have knives. Thanks. Bring it up here, James. I like that. Jeans and a knife. I was in Monterey Park, and what's the little bellboy? Anthony? No, Thomas. Okay. He comes up. When I said Thomas, everybody laughs. He came up, and he's got a gun. I said, hey, what is that? He said, that's a pellet gun. Now, if you know Thomas, Thomas is a wonderful boy. And pray for his mom. His mom has cancer, okay? Pray for her. But he's just one of those, you know, you're not sure what he's going to do next. So I keep one eye on him. So he's got a gun, and I said, "Hey, what is it?" I said, "What kind?" He said, "That's a pellet gun." I'm going, "Okay." I said, "Is it loaded?" He said, "Sure is." I grabbed it from him. If you look at my son Nathaniel, I won't say who did it, but it was his last name, Montano. But anyway, he's got a dot right there. He got shot up at youth camp with an airsoft gun. And I don't forget. I was with another guy at Monterey Park, and he said we were having BB gun fights at our house, and he said I got a BB in my eye. My brother, it was stuck in my eye. We couldn't get it out. And he said, my brother came up to me and said, don't tell mom. Hi, mom. How you doing? It's keep your eye closed for the rest of your life. Kill. Mortify. Okay? This word in chapter 1 or 3 of in verse 5, mortify, he's saying kill these things. Don't flirt with them. Kill them. Don't pet them, kill them. Don't say hi to them, kill them. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication. Kill it. Kill it. Uncleanness. You junior high boys, kill it. Now, here's I want to get these two words. Inordinate affection. You say, Pastor, what's inordinate affection? And I'm going to get to it in just a few minutes. Inordinate affection is an affection, you know. Oh, he's so affectionate. He's so nice. It's an affection that you're not supposed to have. It's liking somebody you're not supposed to like. Junior hires, you're not supposed to be liking the girls. Okay? And I know you like, listen, you say, Pastor, you get in this courtship stuff. You say, when did you start dating? I was 5. That's our date when I was 5. Okay, now, don't do as I did, do as I say. Okay, but an inordinate affection is any affection that you're not supposed to have. Okay, and I'm going to give you a list in just a little bit of inordinate affections. If you start liking, do you know married people? Look, a license just makes you legally married, and it also makes you married under the sight of God, but it doesn't change a whole lot unless you are committed to God and you do what the Bible says about marriage. Well, I'm married now, you know. We'll never like anybody else. Oh, yes, you will, if you're not careful. There's men in this church and churches all over America, they have an inordinate affection for some girl at work. They like her. They like being around. Listen, if you like being around some lady more than you like being around your wife, where's that knife? Kill it. You kill it. Mortify it. If you like, I'm getting ahead of my sermon. I haven't even started. We still have 15 points. That's all introduction. It's you kill it. Don't play with it. I see. I'll go up to McDonald's and all these guys and girls are touching each other and grabbing on each and touching each other and passing the fries and elbowing each other. It's like, come on, okay? By the way, we're Christians. We shouldn't do that. By the way, we shouldn't be doing that in here. You know, about the most we can do is a handshake. Don't do that very long either. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, that's sexual sins, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Okay, now let's go to one more verse. Look at 2 Timothy. This is for you preacher boys. Paul came to Timothy and said, hey, Tim, flee youthful lusts. Just because you're a preacher, just because you're a Sunday school teacher, just because you're a missionary, doesn't mean that you, about youthful, again, I mentioned this morning, doesn't mean when you're old, you don't have the temptations. But when you're younger, you have more temptations. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 21. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man, by the way, this book is written to Timothy. Timothy's a young preacher. Paul's the older preacher. And he's coaching him and he's helping him how to be a pastor and how to be a good pastor. And Timothy's young. Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. He's a young, I don't know, maybe he's late 20s, maybe early 30s. But look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Okay, he's talking about some previous things he said. Now look at verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Okay, flee. Don't flirt with it. Flee, run, get out of there, go, kill it. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity. What are you doing? You're replacing the lust. Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me real fast, I'm going to give you 15 points, and then we're going to watch a little quick DVD here. Number one, work hard at depending on the Lord to overcome lust or to keep from lusting. Work hard at it. Jesus said, cut your eyeball out if you have to. He said, cut your hand off. Listen, let me say this. We are not going to have pure minds, and we're not going to be able to eliminate a jealousy and problems with our marriage just by osmosis. We have to work at it. Work hard. By the way, around here, and I don't think, maybe I'm not careful enough, but we have policies, and we're making more policies. Okay, no staff can ever drive in the car with someone of the opposite gender. Okay? No, staff men, okay, I'm a pastor, I counsel, but I don't do ongoing counsel with ladies. Okay? It's like, you now, you go to my wife, you go to Miss Alma Myers, okay? What are you saying? We have policies to try to keep us from being, giving into lust or causing lust. Work harder. By the way, there are entire, I mentioned this morning about the rehab, the Rush Limbaugh, but there are entire ministries. We've been in contact with them. We got material for, it's trying to help men. Entire ministries, Now, unfortunately, it's not a Baptist ministry, but it has some good material. Entire ministries, and all they do is one thing. They help men and ladies, mostly men, overcome their lust. Okay, what are you saying? It's saying this. If we don't work at it, it ain't going to happen. Work hard at it. Number two, request the moral purity packet. We have a packet. Now, I know it's hard. I talked to somebody this week, and they said, how do I get it? They said, don't give it to somebody to give to me. Okay, the moral purity packet. We have a packet. It has verses. It has DVDs. It has sermons. It has some articles on overcoming moral impurity. Request it. You know, if you want to, by the way, let me tell you how to do it. Say this. Send me an email and say, hey, pastor, there's somebody I know that needs that moral impurity packet. You don't have to say it's you because you do know yourself. Just say there's somebody I know, and then we all are doing it for somebody else, okay? Or, by the way, I need it for myself because I'm a man and I'm red-blooded, but I also need it because I'm trying to help men. By the way, if you're trying to help people, you need to understand this because we live in a society that doesn't understand this. You want, by the way, reason I say this moral purity packet, because what it does, the Bible says, engraft the word of God. We need to engraft specific truths about moral purity, if for no other reason, if you're not in trouble right now, to protect yourself, protect your family for the future. Number three, there's nothing more important than walking with God. And I can't overemphasize that. Okay, I can't. I know that's not, we're all supposed to walk with God. Walk with the Lord. Walk with God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. By the way, there might be some of us here today, and you're saying, wow, pastor, I've never had this problem. I'm a man, and I've never really had lust problems and all that. I'm a Christian. And by the way, thank God for that. But let me say this. That's not the case for everybody. That's just not the case for everybody. Number four, make no provision for the flesh. And we already talked about it. You say, how do you make provision for the flesh? TV, internet, cell phones. Do you know how many young people we've caught and others have caught? You got your cell phone on you? With pornography on the cell phones? Way too many. By the way, and I've gone this before. Husbands and wives, you ought to have such an open relationship that your husband can grab your phone and look at it anytime he wants. And your wife can grab your phone and, well, whatever happened to privacy? I don't have privacy with my wife. We're one. My email, my wife can check it. My wife, I got my 3x5s. Got my 3x5s up, put things out, put it on there. My wife knows everything about. She knows my emails. Wow, you know, that I couldn't live a life like that. What are you trying to hide? Okay? Everybody needs accountability. And you young people, you young men, oh man, I want you. You young men, well, I'm glad I don't have a dad like that. You know what you got to do? You got to find one of the godly men around here and say, hey, would you be like the pastor to me? Okay? We got this, we now with all these emails, and we don't even talk to people. Everything's right. It's everything so secretive. It's like, Anyway, I know I'm preaching. I was going to say I'm preaching the choir. I think I don't know I'm preaching to anybody. Make no provision. Television, internet. Look, and I'm not a really good Christian. I'm not a real holy people. No, you know, sometimes we you know, I'm not. We had to turn off the Three Stooges. 1938, Three Stooges. The girls come out. You know, I can't remember what it was, and the Three Stooges. You know who those? Those, you know, Curly, Moe, and Larry. They come on. And these girls come out in their little spanky 1930 clothes trying to entice them. I'm like, turn it off. It's a sad day when we had to kill the Three Stooges. Fleshly places, cable television. Number five, break the curse for your children's sake. Please understand this. If you were immoral and your dad was immoral and your mom was immoral, or if anybody was immoral, let me say this. It's almost like you have in your spiritual genes. And so what you need to do, you need to work at it more and break the curse with God's word. Keep yourself accountable. Keep yourself accountable. Now look, and by the way, I'm not faking. I'm done with that technology. You know, my kids said, "Oh, you got internet on your phone." I said, "I don't have internet on my phone. I've never used it. I don't even know how." And then they looked, "I guess you don't." Keep yourself accountable. Don't have all access to the world without anybody able being able to check up on you. So I trust myself. I don't trust myself. Keep yourself accountable. Stay busy serving the Lord. Like I ask, and if you get the 10 Steps to Overcome Lust by S.M. Davis, and he went on, he gave a little history lesson on how that when businessmen in America begin to get above water and they begin to succeed where they didn't have to work a lot of hours to actually take care of their families and a lot of money in the bank and investments, that's when the moral decline in America started. You say, why? They had too much free time. By the way, if you're a housewife and your husband's been able to pay the bills, praise God, give him a back rub, you go and be his cheerleader. But let me say something. You stay busy at home. You stay busy at home. Now, if you have little children, I don't need to say that. But if your children are all grown up, okay, inside the houses, sometimes with, you know, well, I'm just gonna contact my old friends. I want to tell them about Jesus. Let your husband tell your old boyfriends about Jesus. And you can tell the old girlfriends about Jesus. Number 8, and I already said this: stab or starve inordinate affections. Stab or starve it. Say, what are some inordinate affections? Now, for me, now you do it however you want. To me, an inordinate affection would be if my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter, liked the boy. I know she likes boys. You say, what happens? God begins to change. You know, there's a day when all of a sudden girls, they no longer have cooties. Right? For me, it was 5. It's like you don't look at them like, ugh. You run from them, throw sand on them on recess. It's like, woo. You say, how do you know when that happens? When the boys start brushing their teeth without mom telling them. When the girls start hanging out in the mirror. It's like, hey, you've been there way too long. What's going on here? Okay. But an inordinate affection, you kill it, mortify. We read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, mortify these, an inordinate affection. It's an affection that you should not have. Okay, teenagers, it's normal to like boys and girls, but you know what? When you start liking it, kill it until you're ready to get married. And if you're 15, you are not ready to get married. Well, I like him. By the way, dads, help your daughters not to be flirtatious and help your boys not to be flirtatious. Come on, have some sense and figure out what's going on. It doesn't take a rocket scientist that he's always with her and she's always with him, and I know they're sharing bus addresses. Come on, dad, put your head out of the sand and wake up. Teen dating. Married people having feelings for somebody else. Married people having feelings for some. You say, what do you do? Ah! Yeah! I've been watching some of those video games you've been watching. Married people having. Hey! Single people having an inordinate affection for someone that's married. Oh, Pastor, that would never happen. Says who? Okay. Singles having feelings for lost people. That's an inordinate affection. You say, what do you do? Wah! That was like from the belly button up. Kill it. Okay, you kill it. Wah, 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 wah. Kill it. You don't go where they are at the workplace. That's not killing it. That's feeding it. But he's just, when I get around him, he just makes me feel good. Kill it! That's the one you kill. Okay? You kill it and starve it. You know, if you wah, 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 and they go, oh, give me some food. No, let them die. Let me just say this. Things come to my mind. I'm like, look, married men, we have many different groups in our church. We have guys that just came off the streets that got saved. We have children that grew up in a Christian home. We got a kid that started coming to our church when he was 12. 12, pretty clean guy, you know. Then we have everything in between. And if you're not careful, some of you married men, you might think, man, I wish my wife went to Bible college and learned all that. Hey, don't go there. You get this thing and you go, wah, wah, whoo! You kill that. Come on, don't give me that look. I'm talking to the right crowd because I know what, hey, listen, it's common sense. See, what do you do with that? Don't think about it. You kill it. Mortify it. You say, God, I need help. And at the same time, you don't feed it. You kill it. Brother Davis and told the story, and I may have given the illustration. There was, it was him or some other pastor, and he was sitting there in his office. And the lady said, can I see you? And he said, yes. And the lady comes in, and she says, Pastor, I just want to tell you this. I love you. And he says, you know what? We love you too in the Lord and blah, blah, blah. Then she sort of said, no, I love you. Okay? He said, okay, hold on just a second. Okay? He ran off. I think this is how it went. He ran off and got his wife and brought her in. Got that? He brought her in and said, now, honey, Mrs. Smith wants to tell you something. I'm going to get out of here. Okay, I'm going to leave here. But Mrs. Smith, when I leave here, Mrs. Smith is going to tell you what she just told me. He went out, closed the door. Now, he had the graphics on the DVD, and the next graphic was like punching and fighting and all. He said, guess what? That took care of it. He said, oh, I'm so flattered by that. Kill it! Kill any inordinate. By the way, somebody, I don't know if it's John Rose or somebody gave me the video of the fireproof or the fire something about the guy, and he had moral problems. And anybody know what I'm talking about? And I like my favorite part of the whole DVD was when he got right and he finally said, you know what, I'm gonna get this thing right. And I just loved it. He got his computer. Was it the bat? He got the computer and he put it down and he just, you know what he did? He got the computer and he's like, wham, 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 wham. There's a few of us tonight, you need to go home and do that to your computer. Don't put it on eBay. Don't put it on FreeBay. Don't put it on anyBay. Just kill it. We got to be serious about it. Run from lust. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Paul told Timothy, he didn't say, well, you know, you just have to just memorize a few verses. By the way, you should memorize a few verses. He didn't just pray about it. He said, run. Run from it. Kill it. Kill it. Mortify it. Joseph ran from it. I mentioned this morning. Number 10, men work with men. Women work with women. By the way, we have sisters, these two ladies right here, Dawn and Katie, godly girls. I can have a brief conversation with them. They're sisters in Christ. We're not saying every time you see a girl. When we were at the boys' home, we send kids to the boys' and girls' home, and all the girls sit at this side. All the boys sit at this side. The boys could, if the girls were around, the boys could not even turn their heads. I like that. Anyway, number 11, and I said that this morning, but I really, dads, we need help. Screen future son-in-laws very thoroughly. Now look, I know I'm a little bit of an oddball. Okay? No amens. And I'm not a very good Christian. Maybe there's people that have come my way that have taught. But the things I say behind the pulpit, they're from God's word and they're from others that have invested in me. Nothing original. Nothing original. So if you, oh, wow, pastor's so smart. No, I read it in the book. I watch a DVD, or there's some godly people that I've been in contact with. But this thing about, wouldn't it be nice if every guy in the church knew that if he is going to try to get your daughter, not just my daughter, all of our daughters, he has to go through such a process that he's either going to have to get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and memorize the whole Psalms 119 and the whole book of Psalms, or he ain't getting himself a girl here. Oh, my daughter will never get married. No, your daughter, like I mentioned this, your daughter's going to get married to the right guy. Screen them, guys. Screen them, dads. Have questionnaires. I got one about 420 questions. By the way, that's just for starters. That's not, okay, date my daughter. I want you. No. Don't even talk to my daughter. We're gonna approve you first. And then once we approve you, we're going to sort of meet with you because I want to see if you lied on these questions. I've got a lie detector test I bought. Just kidding. That'd be pretty good, though, wouldn't it? Screen them. Realize we have a very immoral society. Political leaders, pastors, youth pastors. Now, the guy like this guy, Betrayus, General Betrayus. He betrayed us. What a bummer. It's almost like, man, maybe we got a good guy out there. Boom! Married 38 years. He commits adultery on his wife. That's where we live. Let that be the world. Let that not be the church. Let's have a high moral standard in the church. Let's have a high moral standard in our family. Let's have a high moral standard in the school. Let's have a high moral standard in the college. And by the way, we have a church and 24 years, of course, people have fell and they've tripped and they've messed up, and we embrace them and we love them and we help them, but we also help. We don't want that to be the norm in the church. And if it happens, the way we deal with it is very, very important that we do it scripturally, and we do. We're living in immoral science. This ain't Mayberry. It ain't. Number 13, realize marriage will not cure moral failure. Marriage just complicates it. Okay? You single guys, well, I'll get married. That'll fix everything. No, it won't. And I say that often because some of the single guys, they think that's what will happen. I got moral problems and I have all these lust problems. I dip into the internet every once in a while. Once I get married, it'll be cured. No. All it does is it gets worse. Now you bring her into your mess. Okay? That's why, dads, you sit down with a young man and you say, now don't lie to me. When was the last? Have you ever been involved with pornography? That means yes. Okay, that doesn't disqualify. Hey, aren't you glad that God forgives us? Okay, I want to know about you. When was the last time you were involved with that junk? 5 years ago. Okay, now I got a question for you. What have you done? What have you done? What steps have you taken? Scriptural steps have you taken? You might have a good guy, and maybe 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, 10 years ago, talked to someone this past week. He said, listen, he said, when I was 10 years old, I was introduced to pornography. Okay? But here, as I mentioned this morning, those pictures don't just go away. See, what do you have to do? You need to, God willing, you take the steps. And by the way, maybe he's a good guy and say, listen, let me take you through the steps. Let me help you. We don't want to have a spirit of condemnation. We want to have a spirit of freedom. God wants us to have freedom from this. Amen? Married men, stay away from strange women. We already mentioned that this morning. Stay away from strange women. Married women, stay away from strange men. Any lady that's not your wife or your daughter. That's married ladies, okay? Single ladies, teen girls, anybody. Ladies, please bring godly, holy modesty in the church. Okay? I mentioned a couple weeks ago, listen to the spirit, not to the mind. Err on the side of caution. By the way, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be done here in a minute. I hear this. Unfortunately, I hear it, you know, maybe second or third hand from some really good Christians. But I'll just agree to disagree. Okay? You say what? well, if we dress like that, people won't want to come to church. So we're going to dress immodestly so people come to church? Err on the side of caution. God, I believe, would rather you be too loose than too tight. So which one is it? Well, it's just on the border. Why don't you be a little too loose than too tight? Guys, don't leave me up here by myself. Thanks. Be too long rather than too short. Be too thick rather than too thin. And whatever else the twos are. Okay, well, I'm going to show you. We're gonna watch something, then we're going to be done. And if you guys can get the lights for me, please. And then we're going to show. I showed this. Here you go, James. Oh, no, I better not do that. I'm going to close that for him, please, and give that to him. And we showed this to the staff. We're not going to show the second one. The second one's very good. We don't have time. It'll take too long. But the one thing the second one really helped me with to understand something. He said, you know what? When girls dressed immodestly, this is not on here, so I'll throw it up there. When girls dress immodestly, our conversation with them, the screen's not up there. We're going to have it on the wall. That's okay. Leader finds a way, right? On the wall. I think that's how we used to do it anyway. When a girl is dressed immodestly, men, you know what I'm talking about. A girl is dressed immodestly, I'm going to have a conversation with her. How do I say this? They said it real clearly. It's hard to feel like you're having a Christian conversation. You say, what are you doing? I'm trying. Can someone fill in the blanks? I'm trying to keep my mind pure while I'm talking to this girl. Come on. Okay. Say, well, how should you dress? Dress. You say, well, Pastor, it seems like you have a dirty mind. No, I have red blood. Okay? And I try to do the best I can to have a clean mind. And we want to have a church that, number one, pleases God in everything. And that's in modesty. That is in modesty also. Okay? Say, how should I dress? By the way, this is for men too. How should I dress? You dress first to please the Lord. You say, why? Because we're supposed to do everything to the glory of God. Okay? So this is not real long, but it's real good. Go ahead, guys, turn the lights off, please.